This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A new Consumer Report investigation in the US has found that more than two-thirds of protein powders and shakes from major brands contain unsafe levels of lead. And with gym session in full swing and supplements flying off the shelves and down our throats, as in my case, it raises the question, could our own post-workout shakes be doing us harm? Well, Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris is Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia and joins us on the line. Evangeline, this one's got our attention.
It certainly does, doesn't it? We might like heavy metals. Metallica's playing in Adelaide tonight.
Oh.
But we certainly don't want heavy metal in the foods we're consuming or in our drinks.
Are you a Metallica fan?
Oh, no, more of an ABBA fan.
You're like Roulez-Vous then. So let's talk
about... They're a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree with you. And my brother always liked the heavy metal stuff, and I was, of course, the ABBA fan, so I became very anti-heavy metal. It's like,
right,
no.
Yeah. Well, this is just the story for you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Consumer Report study. It was pretty confronting. More than two-thirds of the products tested had unsafe levels of lead. What exactly did they find?
Yeah, look, this is an interesting study because they've done it before, and Consumer Reports is a bit like Choice here in Australia. So they test products to see if they're safe and, you know, if they contain what they say they will contain in them. And what they found was two-thirds contained levels higher than the Californian guidelines on what they say lead levels should be in foods. Now, this isn't the first time they found that. They found this previously in 2010, and other reports in between in 2018 have also found that there's been heavy metals in protein powders. So it is quite concerning. A lot of these powders that they tested are, well, no, all of them are available through online shopping through Australia. So it isn't, we can't assume that what we get sent to us is going to be safe. We can't assume that they're going to be tested as they come into the country. So if you are buying these products from America, it is likely, and if you're picking the brands that they found to be high, that they will contain lead in them. Now, the question is the level high enough? Because the FDA, which is the US Food and Drug Administration, has a different safety level for lead.
Than the California.
So it does
one.
Get a little bit confusing. So there's two different safety levels of lead going in this report. But what we do know is some of them would still be unsafe. And what it's assuming with the US, the FDA one, is that it's your total intake of lead throughout all your foods. So the problem is, even if these are just right up there at the maximum level, it's not accounting for lead in other foods. And we know that lead is in a lot of foods. When Australia did an analysis of Australian foods, they found 15% of foods had detectable levels. And we're more likely to find lead in foods that are grown in the soil. So tuber vegetables, rice tends to be high in lead, all those sort of products. So depending on what you're eating and how you're eating it, you're going to get lead from the protein powders, but you're also going to get lead from your diet. And in addition to that, we also get lead from our exposure to air.
This is really fascinating. So Evangeline, if I was to grow potatoes, for example, you know, in an inner city backyard, I'd be silly, wouldn't I? Because potentially heavy metal contamination.
Yeah, no, this is a tricky thing because it depends on what lead contamination has occurred in your soil.
So it's in the soil. It's not coming from necessarily pollution around the area. It's what's in the soil.
It's coming from pollution as well as any industrial leaks that have gone into the soil and what might have been buried there beforehand. So it's really hard for people to really understand how much lead they may be getting in their diet. And because of that, in Australia, we don't actually have a safe level of lead consumption. What we do is look at blood levels.
Right.
Which is, once again, difficult for people to do. But if people are experiencing health problems, it might be something that's investigated. Or if people come from certain regions of Australia, they may also have their lead levels tested if there's been a lot of, you know, smeltering in the area. So, for example, people from Port Pirie in South Australia tend to get their lead levels checked because of the lead in the air.
Why is lead so bad for us?
Oh, look, it is a baddie. It has a lot of impact. There is no health benefit from consuming lead. So there's nothing good that comes mm-hmm. from consuming lead. And that's why the recommendations are you should be having new lead through your diet or as minimal levels as possible. It has its greatest impact on the brain and the nervous system. And so for children who are growing, it is of greatest concern there because it can affect their cognitive abilities as well as behavioural problems. So learning disabilities, behavioural problems are what we see with children. With adults, there is increasing risk of anemia, joint pain, kidney damage, and also nerve damage. So it impacts everyone. But where it's most concerning is in pregnant and breastfeeding women, and where we have the amount of lead should be as minimal as possible because it does lead to premature birth.
Evangeline, if we're having protein powder, and we'll get to whether we need to have protein powder or not shortly, but if we are having protein powder at the moment, how does protein powder from Australia compare in terms of lead content compared to, say, the ones that are coming in from the US or were contained within this report?
We don't know. That's the problem. It will depend on whether they get their protein powder from overseas or locally. And we can't even assume that local sources may be safe because there's always going to be a little bit of lead in everything. The problem with, as I said, it's in all the food mm-hmm. we consume, small levels in it. The problem is with protein powder, people tend to have a lot of it daily and of that one particular brand, as opposed to food, which you consume little bits from different areas and different types of foods daily. So your risk is greater with a food that you're consuming all the time, which is the case with people who use protein powders.
Because we tend to stick to the one brand. I know I do. I found a brand that I quite like and, you know, they claim all these things, that it's organic and plant-based, et cetera, and I'll just have that and I'll stick to it. But interestingly, some of the worst offenders were plant-based and even labelled organic in this report.
Exactly. So there's a bit of a health halo with plant-based and organic.
There is.
But in this case, those were just as high as some of the other ones. So there's no guarantee that if your product is organic, that it's also going to be low in lead because the lead is already there in the soil that they're harvesting to get, you know, the protein source from, be it animal or plant source.
So Evangeline, this report in particular looks at protein powders coming from the US, but as much as I prefer to buy local if I can and to support local Australian jobs, we can't single out the US here. It's just that we haven't necessarily tested ours.
Exactly.
There you go.
So the best bet, like having shares, mm-hmm. is to spread your risk.
Right.
And that's another, we talk about variety in diet so that people get a little bit of all the nutrients that they need, but also to reduce the risk of getting one concentrated source of heavy metals that may be in one particular food.
We're chatting with Dr. Evangeline Mantzioros, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, about high levels of lead found in some US protein powders and what it means for those of us using supplements here at home in Australia. Now, Evangeline, for anyone using protein powder every day, like myself, maybe for muscle gain or as a meal replacement, how concerned should we be?
That's a good question. It's hard to know how concerned you should be unless there's a specific reason why people particularly need protein powder. This report tends to indicate you don't want to have it as a daily occurrence in your diet.
Okay. So maybe emergencies.
Maybe emergencies. That's right. But as we always said, getting it from food is always going to be better because you get different types of nutrients along with that food. So, for example, if you want to get your protein from dairy, you're also going to get calcium, you're also going to get vitamin B12. And if you have fermented dairy like yogurt and cheese, which is super yummy, I'm just going to add that bit into it. You're also going to get microbiome that's beneficial for your health because it's a fermented product.
Dan in Paran says, I just bought a 2 kilo tub last week. What a waste of money, potentially.
Well, he doesn't need to throw it out, but I wouldn't make it a daily occurrence. So on the days where you think, oh, I probably haven't had enough protein, have the protein powder that's already in your cupboard and then, you know, save food for the rest of the days.
So eventually, I suppose, just to simplify it for us, for those of us who, let's say we do, not just existing and trying to be healthy, but let's say we do want to put on a bit of muscle, for example. Mm. You're also a sports dietitian, so you're the expert in this field. How much protein should we have and how many sort of, what would be the equivalent food that would give us that protein to build if we did want to build? For example, you know, how many eggs? Yeah. Would replace the protein powder, those sorts of things. I can see the chart coming out.
If you are looking to gain muscle mass and you're doing resistance training, and this is the important thing, people need to actually do training and weights to gain the muscle. Having the protein just doesn't do it by itself. Roughly, we say for someone who's just starting and trying to build muscle, they need about 2 grams per kilo of their body weight.
Okay.
An easy way to track if you're getting enough of it is to use one of the apps that's available where you can put in your diet and it can tell you how much protein you get, because you get a lot of protein from non-animal based foods like bread, pasta, rice and all that sort of stuff. But generally, if we talk about animal foods, so for someone who weighs 70 kilos, they're going to need 140 grams of protein.
Right.
2 eggs will give you 10 grams. 40 grams of cheese will give you about 15 grams of protein. A tub of yogurt will give you 10 grams.
All three yummy so far.
Yep. And if you're looking at meat, about 35 grams of red meat will give you 10 grams of protein.
Okay.
And with chicken, it's 40 grams of chicken gives you 10 grams of protein. And with fish, 50 grams of fish gives you 10 grams of protein. But people have to remember things like nuts and seeds and the milk they put in their tea and coffee and the bread and the cereal, all of that adds up. And there's not many Australians that are actually short of their protein requirement. If you're a vegan, you're probably at risk and it's a little bit more difficult. So what I really do recommend is people use an app to track their protein intake. And then they can see how much they're having. Because if you just go, oh, well, I need more, and you start taking more protein sources in, what you're going to have to do is decrease your intake of another food group, and that might mean you're at risk of a deficiency in one other nutrient. Most typically, people don't eat enough fruit and vegetables, so they don't get enough fiber in their diet when they're trying to increase their protein. So it's best to make sure your diet's balanced by checking one of these apps.
Is it dangerous if we have too much protein?
Unless someone has a family history of kidney disease and they themselves have got early signs of kidney disease and they're not aware of it, generally it's not thought to be dangerous. The problem is you're not getting enough of other nutrients and it's an expensive way to get kilojoules into you.
Alex in Carlton says, I thought plant-based was meant to be safer. This is the halo effect you were talking about before, isn't it?
We can't be certain of that. Certainly eating plant-based foods to get the protein is probably going to be safer because we're eating it from everywhere. But in terms of the protein powders, no. The vegan ones also came up high in lead.
So eventually with those sources that you were talking about, so yogurt, we spoke about eggs, meat, you know, fish, etc., cheese, all these sources, nuts and vegetables, these sources of protein, we could be getting, for example, say 6 or 7 sources of protein there as opposed to what, and I've got to confess I did this today, one single source of concentrated protein that could also have this concentrated level of lead in it as well. And if I'm having that every day, and I've got to admit, it can become a bit of a ritual, almost, a level of anxiety. Oh, my goodness, I haven't had my dose of protein powder today. We could be putting our health at risk potentially if it contains this lead.
Yeah. And look, if you don't have enough protein one day, it's generally not going to be a problem because you make up for it in the other days. So when we look at people's diets being adequate, we normally assess it over a 3 or 4 day period. Mm. So one day might be lower in vitamin C, but the next day it's a bit higher. And the body, it doesn't have deficiency problems within a day. You know, it's generally over 3 or 4 days that we like to see, you know, all levels being the same.
Rory in Fitzroy says, Evangeline, what about meal replacement drinks? Should we be treating them with the same level of caution?
Well, interesting, they didn't assess those, but given they're probably using similar sources of getting their protein, they may also be a risk. Now, what people need to think about is if they are taking those meal replacement drinks for weight loss, the impact of, you know, losing weight may be more beneficial than the risk of having extra lead. So if it's been given to you for a medical reason, you probably need to check in with your health professional to see what are the risks of if you don't take it and what are the risks if you do take it.
Craig in Bentley says, I use protein shakes daily for the gym. Great. Now I need a blood test. Now, should we, should people like, and myself as well, should we, because we rely heavily on protein powder, we have in the past, should we go and have a blood test, or is that being overly cautious?
That's probably being overly cautious. If you've got some of the symptoms of lead, high lead levels, and you can check those online with, you know, some of the government websites, they do have information on lead poisoning. Generally, you're going to feel people might have anemia. And so if your doctor determines you have got anemia from a blood test, they might then investigate why you've gotten the anemia. And there can be many reasons why you have anemia. It isn't just lead toxicity. The other thing is the nerve damage that may occur. People might get tingling and numbness, you know, at their extremities. So there are signs and symptoms of it. People don't need to panic. They don't need to go and get their levels tested. If they're worried about some of their symptoms, they can then go and talk to their GP and see, you know, what their GP thinks, in line with the GP doing a full medical history.
Eventually, before we let you go, let's say someone isn't necessarily wanting to build muscle, but they just want to be healthy and have, you know, the required amount of protein. How much is required per day for a healthy adult?
So for a healthy adult, we can say about 1 gram per kilo of body weight.
Okay. So 2 grams if you want to build muscle and 1 gram if you just want to be healthy.
Yeah. And then for the other training athletes, so if you're an endurance athlete, you need about 1.5 grams per kilo of body weight.
Right. I'm not an endurance athlete. Evangeline, important conversation though, because we do think we're doing the right thing. We're being healthy. We scoop out our protein powder after a gym workout. Maybe we need to consider that we can just get it from all those other sources that you tell us about every fortnight here on Drive.
I know. Absolutely. It's food first approach is always the best, because you get all those other nutrients in there that are beneficial.
Evangeline, always good to chat with you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you.
That was Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.